Okay, so for today I thought we'd do something different to what we normally do and have a talk about a different sort of subject. And I'll be talking about the life of King Ashoka. Now, can I just ask at the beginning, just do a straw poll, how many people know who King Ashoka is?
You know.
A little bit.
You know a little bit.
Okay, so it's a bit surprising really, because in fact King Ashoka is probably the second most important person in the history of Buddhism after the Lord Buddha himself. He was born a couple of hundred years after the Buddha attained Parinibbana, and he became the king or the emperor of more or less the whole of India. Probably without King Ashoka, it's quite possible that today we would not have Buddhism around in the world, certainly not in the form that we have it anyway. Now, just to give some background, at the time of Lord Buddha, in that area in northern India, there were 18 countries or 18 states. It was broken up into small segments. In the years following Lord Buddha's Parinibbana, for the next 100 years or so, the monarchical states were becoming more powerful, and one of them particularly managed to gain control of most of the others. That was Magadha. So most of northern India, or a large section of northern India, had been brought under control of what was one small state in Lord Buddha's time, had become a very powerful state. Now, Ashoka was born to the king of Magadha, whose name was Bindusara. Bindusara actually had many children, and Ashoka was not in line for the throne. He was not the one who was going to become the king. Now, Ashoka actually had a very bad reputation. He was made like a prince of one of the states, and he was quite violent and quite a nasty character. And when his father died, as was quite common in those days, and it actually has been quite common in history, there was a struggle for the throne as to who would succeed the father. And Ashoka managed to kill his elder brothers. It appears that he spared at least two of his younger brothers. We're not quite sure about the rest. But the elder brothers were killed, and that way he managed to ascend to the throne. So it's actually through what we call fratricide that he managed to become the king. So it's not a very auspicious start, really, to the reign. But after that, his father had managed to extend the empire so far, but there were certain countries that he still hadn't managed to conquer. One of the main countries is a place called Kalinga. It's where Orissa is now, or more or less anyway, in northern India. It's quite a big state, and it was holding out against the Magadhan Empire. Now, as Ashoka was trying to extend his empire, he went to Kalinga, and there was a war. And this was a very, very destructive war. It said about 100,000 people were killed, and that would be in like hand combat, you know. It would mean actually smashing people's skulls with swords and, you know, lances and things like that. So 100,000 people were killed and were left dead on the battlefields, and 150,000 people were deported. That means they were taken out of the country, which means that there was no labour left in the country. In this way, then King Ashoka managed to capture Kalinga and overthrow its government. But when he entered the capital city of Kalinga, he looked around and he saw how many people were just lying dead on the streets and how much destruction had been wrought by the war that he had carried out. Now, until this time, Ashoka had a very, very bad reputation. He was actually called Chandashoka, which means Ashoka the Violent or Ashoka the Fierce, because he was so bloodthirsty and such a murderous type of person. But when he saw the death and destruction that he had wrought in conquering Kalinga, he had a change of heart, he had a conversion, and conversion experience. He later wrote about this in edicts that are still available now, because he had them written on stone. And he said in one of these edicts that, having seen the destruction and having seen all the death that he had caused, he turned away from violence. So instead, thereafter, instead of ruling by the sword, he decided to rule people by Dhamma. This was a complete transformation in his life, from being one of the most violent and worst kings that had seen, actually just like a run-of-the-mill king, because most kings in those times were kind of given over to slaughter and so on. But from that position, he decided to rule his empire just by the force of moral goodwill. He had actually extended his empire at that point from what is now more or less Bangladesh in the east to what is more or less Afghanistan in the west, and all the way down to Tamil Nadu. Not quite Tamil Nadu itself, but down to Tamil Nadu, the borders there. And all over his empire, which was this huge empire, he had notices put up that were written in stone, giving instructions to his people. Now, those stones actually still exist today, and we can still read those inscriptions. So we know from these inscriptions the good works that afterwards Ashoka carried out. And we also know of his works from some of the chronicles that were kept in Sri Lanka. Now, one of the things that King Ashoka did was call a council of all the monks to renew the sasana, to re-establish the sasana, and to take out from the sasana those monks who were not living properly as monks, and to have a new recital of the text. It's actually at Ashoka's council, which was the third council, that the last books in the Pali Tripitaka were added. So that's a couple of centuries after the Lord Buddha had passed away. There were some books added at that time. Now, another thing that King Ashoka did after that council and the purification of the sasana was to send out missionaries to various countries. Missionaries to all of the known world at that time, or all the world that he knew at that time, shall we say. He sent missionaries down to Sri Lanka. That was his son and his daughter, who were both ordained. He also sent missionaries out to all the far districts in India. He sent some to Afghanistan, which was still within his empire. And he sent missionaries also over to Greece and to Egypt. So this is about three centuries before Christ, right? The Buddhist teachings under Ashoka had spread from the center, the heartland where the Buddha himself had been teaching. Thanks to Ashoka, they had spread all over India and then up into the Himalayas, over to where is now Afghanistan and Pakistan, and over even into Europe. And there are many Greeks, actually, who are recorded as being Buddhist in those times. We have their names and we have their country origin and everything like that. And some of those were also missionaries. Now, that becomes important because the two main lines of communication of the Buddhist teachings later became through Sri Lanka, which gives us the Theravada teachings, and through Gandhara, or what is now Afghanistan, which is where the teachings went to China. So these give rise to what are now called the southern and the northern schools of Buddhism. That is the Theravada and the Mahayana teachings. Now later, as everybody knows, or as I think you know anyway, Buddhism itself died out in India, and it only survived in these distant countries. Now from that you can understand, if Buddhism had still been confined to India, quite possibly it would have been wiped out and there would have been no Buddhists left in the world now. Okay, it only survived because it actually went into these border districts. So in this way, it's thanks to Ashoka that we even receive Buddhism today. If the Buddha hadn't have taught the hadn't have given the teaching, hadn't have taught the Dhamma, then of course there would have been nothing to pass on. But if Ashoka hadn't have spread it out into the known world at that time, it would have passed away in India in the Middle Ages. Now, Ashoka also took other measures to establish the Sasana within his domains. Okay, so he established many monasteries and he established many stupas throughout the length and breadth of India. Some of those stupas are still standing. And he also established universities for the study and propagation of the teaching. Now, besides all the good works that he did on behalf of the Sasana, without which we wouldn't have the Sasana anymore, besides those good works, he also established very humanitarian practices in his realm. For instance, he started a practice which is still continued. It occurs anyway in Sri Lanka nowadays. I'm not sure about Thailand or Burma, but they're called Margata days. It means days of no killing. That means days when, like cattle and other livestock, are not killed for meat. They were also, those days you could not castrate animals. These were the days, especially around the Poya days, especially around the full moon and new moon days. That tradition continues today in Sri Lanka. Around the full moon and at least around the full moon days, then for about 3 days at that time, all the slaughterhouses in Sri Lanka have to close. Now, this is a form of what we call abeyadana. That means the gift of fearlessness, so that other creatures don't have to fear, you know, the way we are living in the world. They also can live their lives without that fear of being slaughtered. He also turned his palace, where they were slaughtering thousands of animals every day, he turned his palace eventually to being vegetarian. He also erected hundreds of hospitals throughout his realm, both for human beings and for animals. So they're the first like veterinary surgeries that we know of in history. Now, Ashoka's heritage, if you like, is not only that he managed to pass on the Sasana and that we managed to receive it today, but he also stands as a model which successive Buddhist governments have tried to emulate. So in the Middle Ages, he was taken as a model emperor, a model king, that anybody who aspired to be a Buddhist king would try to copy the practices that Ashoka put in place, establishing hospitals throughout his realm, lessening the times that people, that animals can be killed, establishing all good sorts of practices, looking after the monks and nuns, establishing universities and so on. All the good works that he did were taken as a model of how a Buddhist king or a Buddhist government should act. So those things also come down to us today. So this is also a good example for us. Ashoka actually started in the worst possible way. He had a really terrible early career. He was an Angulimala type character. But Angulimala only killed 999 people, whereas Ashoka had killed, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, including members of his own family. So this is just a short talk, just to give you some idea about the life of King Ashoka and how much we owe to this great king who reigned about 2,300 years ago in India, through whom we receive not only the teachings of the Lord Buddha, but also all the good practices that the governments in a Buddhist kingdom should observe. So everybody say sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Karaniya matta kusalena yantan santan padamabhi samecha sakho juja sujuja suvacho jasamunduanatimani santu sakho jasubarocha apakicho jasalaukaduti santindriyo janipakocha apagapo kulesu anunugito na chakutan samachare kinchi yena vinyu pare upavadeyan sukhino va kemino hantu Sabbe satta bhavantu sukhitatta ye ke cipana bhutati tasavata varava anavasesa digavaye mahantava majjimarasakanukatula jittavaye chaddita ye chadure vasanti abhidure bhutava sambhavesiva sabbe satta bhavantu sukhitatta na paro paranikubeta nati manyeta kattachinan kanchi vyarosana patika sanya nanamanyasa dukkamicheya mata yata liyam putan ayusayika putam anurakke evam pisabha bhutesu manasam bhavaye aparimanam netancha sabha lokasmin manasam bhavaye aparimanam udanna docha tiriyancha asambhadanna veramasapattan tittancha ranyasinnova sayanova yavatasa vigatamiddo etan satinna ditteya brahma metan viharan nidamahu Dittinchanu paganna silava dasanena sampanno kamesu vineya getan nahi jatu gabbaseyam punaretiti itipiso bhagava arahan sammasambuddho Vijacharina sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro parisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanaiko pachattam veditabho vinyuhiti supatipanno bhagavato savaka sango ujupatipanno bhagavato savaka sango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sango Yadidam chattari purisa yugani atta purisa pukka Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaniyo, anuttaran punyaketan lokasati, yandan nimittan avamangalancha, yochamanapo sakunasasaddo, Papagaho dusupinanakantan Buddhanubhavena vinasamentu Yandan nimittan avamangalancha Yochamanapo sakunasasaddo Papagaho dusupinanakantan Dhammanubhavena vinasamentu Yandan nimittan avamangalancha Yochamanapo sakunasasaddo Papagaho dusupinanakantan Sanghanubhavena vinasamentu Sabitio vivajantu sabarogo vinasatu mate bhavatvantarayo sukhidi gayuko bhava bhavatu sabbamangalan rakkantu sabbadevata sabbabuddhanubhavena sadasati bhavantu te bhavatu sabbamangalan rakkantu sabbadevata sabbadhammanubhavena sadasati bhavantu te bhavatu sabbamangalan rakkantu sabbadevata sabbasanghanubhavena sadasati bhavantu te.